This program is made possible by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
The gospel of grace, the grace of God, is responsible for everything you're going to need in this life. Everything you'll ever need for life and godliness has already been made available by the grace of God. Born again, everything you'll ever need, what you lack right now and what you're praying for right now, has already been taken care of in this grace. It's a part of the salvation package. The salvation package is not limited to just your salvation. It also contains everything necessary for your transformation. I'm a world
changer. This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now, from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of St. John, chapter 1. St. John, chapter 1, and beginning at verse 14. We're going to begin a new series today entitled Grace for Life. In other words, a lot of times people question whether or not we need to balance grace or do we need to balance our teaching on grace. And sometimes people get pretty concerned about, oh, if you're going to preach that great stuff, because, you know, they think that the grace of God only deals with the fact that he's taken away your sins and he's forgiven you of your sins. But the same grace that forgives us will also help us to say no to sin. And I think if we balance anything, you know, you can't balance faith with an equal amount of unbelief. You see why? You take unbelief and try to balance faith, you cancel out faith. You can't take the New Testament and try to balance it with the law, the old covenant. That's not balance, okay? And so the thing we have to do in our teaching, we have to continue to say to you that the grace of God is not just for salvation, but the grace of God is also for transformation. It's also for working through you into somebody else's life. So we cannot limit God's grace to just forgiveness. We cannot limit God's grace to just, you know, taking our sins away. Of course, that is the core message of the gospel. But the grace of God is for salvation. It is for transformation. It is that power that will flow through us that will allow us to be a blessing in somebody else's life. Amen? Now, what I'm going to show you today is that there is grace for all areas of life. I'm talking about grace for every area of life. The grace of God is much more than forgiveness of sin. So a practical way for me to be able to explain this grace of God for all areas of life is to divide it up into areas. So in this series, we're going to talk about grace for life. And we're going to talk about, number one, saving grace. That's what we'll talk about today. Saving grace. And then we'll talk about standing grace. And then we'll talk about serving grace. Now, saving grace is God working for us, doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. For example, I can't make myself righteous, but God working for me makes me righteous. I can't redeem myself, but God working for me, I am now the redeemed of the Lord. It's God doing what I couldn't do for myself. That's saving grace. But then there's standing grace. That's God working in us. God in us, helping us not to do the things we used to do. God in us, rearranging the furniture in us so we don't have the delight in the sin that we used to have. It's God working in you that's going to snatch that taste for sin out. And standing grace is all about you being able to stand successfully in the face of temptation that used to get you all the time. That's standing grace. And then the third area we're going to be talking about in this series is serving grace. Serving grace is God working through you to get to somebody else's life. Serving grace is God working through you so that other people can experience this grace coming through what you do and how God works and uses you to bless somebody else. Now, this morning is extremely radical. Extremely radical. Extremely radical. And, you know, we went at it yesterday, and I kind of moved some things around a little bit so that the approach will be a little bit different from last night, because it takes a little moment for you to catch hold of this. I'm going to show you where you have been so molested by religion that you'll demonstrate it even today. And what I'm going to try to do is to bring you out of that so you can come to understand just what the saving grace is about. I thought, well, you know, everybody know about saving grace. I've been talking about that for 4 or 5 years. And yet I learned something and saw something I've never seen before. And it blessed me beyond what you can ever imagine. And my prayer today is that it will bless you the same way. So let's establish this foundation. Now, what I'm about to show you in John chapter 1, verse 14, it is a vital piece of understanding what this is all about. And so I want us to read it, but I don't forget it, because I'm going to go and now show you how it operated in the four Gospels. Let's read verse 14 out loud together. John chapter 1, verse 14. Ready? Read. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now go back to verse 14. Just need to establish this. Verse 14, when he says the Word was made flesh, who is he referring to here?
Jesus
was the Word made flesh, right? Now notice as he continued to describe Jesus, he says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father. He says the Word that was made flesh was full of what? And so Jesus was full of what? So Jesus was full of what? So if Jesus was full of grace and truth, grace is more than a subject. If Jesus is full of grace and truth, grace is more than a curriculum. If Jesus was full of grace and truth, I submit to you that grace is a person.
Amen.
And his name is, come on.
Jesus.
So in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you look at Jesus, but remember, Jesus is an expression full of grace and truth. Well, when Paul started writing, he started writing about grace, wanting us to keep in mind that grace is a person, Jesus. But when you see all of these illustrations in the Gospels, you see Jesus, but I this morning, I want you to translate. When we see Jesus, I want you to translate, that's grace. Because grace is a what? That's easy to understand, right? Everybody got that? Jesus full of what?
Grace.
So grace is not just a subject, it is a
person.
And that person's name is?
Jesus.
All right, good job. We're going to have a good class here this morning. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Let's get started. Now, I'm going to approach this very delicately. I'm going to approach this slowly. Because more than you understanding what I'm saying, I want you to see how religion has raped you, molested you, conned you, and deceived you. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Let's read verse 8 out loud together. Ready to read. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, what did he just say in verse 8 and 9? You were saved by what? And not by works. Is that what you see? Say, I was saved by grace, not by works. So you were not saved because you did the right things. You were not saved because you were qualified to be saved. You were not saved for any performance. You were not saved because any self-effort. You were saved by un done to deserve to be saved? And the answer is nothing. What could I have possibly done to deserve to be saved? Nothing. So we were saved by what? And how was it manifested on us? Through faith. We were saved by what? And it manifested how? We were saved by what? And it manifested through what? Okay, you got that now. All right, so we will establish here that we're saved by grace and it manifested through faith. Saved by grace and it manifested through faith. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 2:16. We'll be back in Ephesians just for a moment. Galatians chapter 2:16. You're right. Verse 16 says this, knowing that a man is not justified. Now that word justified means what? Declared righteous. Knowing that a man is not declared righteous by the works of the law. So we know that we were not saved by works. We were saved by what?
Grace.
Grace. And we have been declared righteous by what?
Grace.
All right. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed. Who do we believe in?
Jesus Christ.
Who do we believe in?
Jesus Christ
full of what?
Grace.
So we believed in grace and truth. Who is who? Jesus Christ. Okay, so we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be, we believed in Jesus Christ that we might be, we believed in Jesus Christ that we might be. See, it was my belief in Jesus Christ that I might be what? Justified. So how was I justified? By my believing in Jesus Christ. How did justification come to me? It was my faith in who? In who? In Jesus Christ. And not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be declared righteous. Nobody, none of your works, none of your goody-goody deeds, all of the things religion told you you had to do to qualify, the scripture just said all of your works will not qualify you for righteousness. Only your faith in Jesus Christ, who is grace. Now put those together, they're saying the same thing in two different ways. We were saved by what?
Grace.
We've been manifested how? We were justified by what?
Grace.
Right here it says our belief in Jesus Christ. And we got a hold of it because of that. So I'll conclude here that we are not saved by self-effort. We are not saved by the works of the law. We are saved by, say it one more time, grace. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Somebody said, what you doing? I'm working on something. And I'm going somewhere. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Now, for by grace are you what?
Saved.
All right, let's deal with that word. Saved. You're saved. Now, that word is translated from a Greek word, sozo. Or another Greek word, soteria. Religion has taught us that that word saved means born again only. And most of us grew up with that understanding. I'm saved, meaning born again only. Even in casual conversations, are you saved? What you're saying is, I'm born again only. Now, that's part of the thing I need to unravel in your thinking. That is, you can no longer look at that word and define it born again only. The Greek of that word does not define it born again only. To define it born again only will limit you to all of the other things that came by grace. So, for by grace are you, let me call it the Greek word here, by grace are you sozo. So what does sozo mean? What does soteria mean? For by grace are you well, you are delivered, you are whole, you are sound, You are healed. You are prosperous. You are all of the finished works of Jesus Christ bought by his blood. So if you say this literally, what it means is, by grace, you are everything that the blood of Jesus purchased for you, including born again. You're born again, you're prosperous, you're healed, you're sound, you're whole, you're everything that came by the blood of Jesus. That's the first thing you got to do. You got to meditate and translate. I am saved, born again, healed, whole, delivered, all the finished works of Jesus. I am saved, born again, healed, whole, prosperous, all of the finished works of Jesus. You have to include all of that or you'll miss what grace did. Hold your place there in Ephesians 2 and 8. Go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Now, verse 16 says this: For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto, and now it uses the word what? Salvation. That comes from that same Greek word, sozo or soteria. And so he said is that this gospel is the power of God that will bring you born again, healing, wellness, wholeness, deliverance, soundness, prosperity, and all the finished works of Jesus. The gospel of grace, the grace of God, is responsible for everything you gonna need in this life. Everything you'll ever need for life and godliness has already been made available by the grace of God. Born again, everything you'll ever need, what you lack right now and what you're praying for right now, has already been taken care of in this grace. It's a part of the salvation package. The salvation package is not limited to just your salvation. It also contains everything necessary for your transformation and also contains everything necessary for God to work through you to bless somebody else. There ain't nothing you need once you get born again if you recognize that it's in the salvation package. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and 8. Here, God, man, we hunt something down, boy. All right, now. For by grace are you sozoed, saved. That means born again, delivered, prosperous, whole. I'm going to say as much as I can today. All the finished works of Jesus, you got it. Now, you got it through your faith in grace. Your faith in this unmerited favor. You had to have faith that grace wanted you to have it, even though you didn't deserve it. You had to have faith in grace wanting you to have it, even though you didn't qualify for it. You had to have faith in grace, wanting you to be born again when you lived life like hell, and grace still wanted you to be born. So you had to have faith. This is what Jesus wanted me to have. This is what grace wanted me to have. Can you see the importance? If you only believe that grace wanted you to be born again, but then you don't know that that also includes all that other stuff, then religion will tell you it's all right to be born again, but not to prosper. It's all right to be born again, but not to get healed. Now, you got to work for that healing. You see what it'll do? It'll separate it out of the grace package and make you think you got to work for something. You didn't work to get born again. You didn't perform to get all the other stuff yet. See, everything else comes the same way as you're born again, by faith in the grace of God, in this unmerited favor. If you understand that, say amen. All right. Now look at the Amplified of verse 8, Ephesians 2, verse 8. I feel like by the Spirit of God, we're doing a better job of building the foundation for this radical statement. I don't have one. It's just one gigantic radical statement, but if I don't explain it properly, it'll tear down your entire belief system. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Let's read verse 8. If the Amplified Bible, if you can put that up, he says, for it is by free grace God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, what? Delivered from judgment and made a partaker of Christ, sozo. Made a partaker of being, notice he says, you've been made a partaker of born again, made a partaker of soundness, made a partaker of wholeness, made a partaker of healing, made a partaker of prosperity, made a partaker of all the finished works of Jesus Christ. He said, by grace, unmerited favor, nothing you did, nothing you deserved, you are delivered from judgment of going to hell, and you are made a partaker of all the stuff you don't deserve. And you can get all of that if you have faith in this unmerited favor. Amen.